You're listening to the podcast at First Assembly Church. For more information, check us out at firstassemblychurch.org.
It's great to be back with you. I was here about 50 weeks ago. And you're still nice. You still smile. And you're still friendly. And you're still generous. Thank you so much for all you do in your community and in families around the world, where you empower other believers to reach their neighbors. And I want to thank you. Thank you for getting behind the vision of Pastor Jason. Jason loves the work of Convoy, and he's a close friend of the leadership at Convoy of Hope. From the top down, we love your pastor. Don't you? Isn't it great? Yeah. And I want to thank you, Pastor, for letting me come and mess up your church again. It's really fun. I enjoy messing up your church. You folks have a great reputation. In fact, when I was a senior in college, we stayed at a hotel. I was on the basketball team. The older I get, the better I was. But we stayed at a hotel right down the road, down the street from where this church used to be located. And Pastor Schultz offered me a job my senior year. But I wanted to go home to Oregon, so that's where I ended up. And now I'm back in Missouri, okay, Springfield. So, okay, all right. But I was raised in Missouri, too. Anyway, so it's great to be back. My wife is here. Please stand, Kathy. She didn't want to stand, but here she is. She's proof I was skinny at one time. Okay, so when I take her with me, I just feel like I'm showing off. So we've been married 39 and a half years almost, and we've never had a fight, and it's her fault. So it's just a joy to be traveling with her. When I get to drive, I get to bring her with me. Let's talk about Convoy of Hope a little bit, and then we're going to talk about a few verses in the Bible. And then we're going to talk about faith promises and missions and what we can do to impact our world personally. And today we're going to say no to zero. Okay? That's where we're going. We're going to say no to zero. First of all, I want to say thank you for all you've done through Convoy of Hope. You didn't give money to Convoy. You gave money through Convoy to meet needs. You saw the video. You see the various responses we're doing around the world. Today, Convoy of Hope is in the middle of sending 50 container loads of food to Haiti following Hurricane Matthew. You might be thinking, whoa, it's a little late. Why are you sending stuff this weekend? Well, we already had a warehouse full of food down there feeding children, 69,000 children every single day in Haiti alone. Convoy of Hope does that. The Lord blessed us with some partners who built a warehouse down there, and it holds 6 million meals there. Isn't that cool? And we don't even own the property because we have strong partnerships. And you won't see Convoy's name anywhere in Haiti except on the side of that warehouse. It's amazing what you can get done when you don't have to get the credit. Right? And it's kind of fun really following through with selflessness. That's a lot of fun. Just like giving gifts secretly, God keeps the books on stuff like that, doesn't he? He really does. And it's always fun to give, and give until it feels good, really. And that's what we have learned at Convoy. And Kathy and I, we've learned that in our personal lives. I mean, God loves a cheerful giver, but he'll take money from a grouch, too. But give until it feels good. An authentic, genuine, real sacrifice does not realize it's sacrificing. Because it's so much fun to give, right? And give sometimes out of your need. And watch God work with your gift, but also in and through your life. At new opportunities, because God keeps the books. We were feeding kids in Haiti at the time of the earthquake wake in 2010. We were feeding 11,000 children every single day. You might be thinking, well, do you just pass out food at the corner? The kids, is it a soup line? No. We feed kids in 10 different countries right now at over 1,100 program centers, and all of those program centers are educationally based. Why do that? Because kids will skip school in order to work or panhandle that day to earn food, money to buy food or get food to survive. We found in countries where there is extreme poverty, kids skip school. So we made food the incentive to show up for school, and it's working. It's working. We're trying to break the cycle of poverty in these families. Poverty and hunger are a greater devastation and take a greater toll than any disaster in the world. Like the tsunami in Southeast Asia claimed the lives of 230,000 people, but hunger claims the lives of 27,000 people per day around the world. That's a new tsunami every 9 days, three a month, but we don't hear about that too much, do we? I'm telling you, we need to get in front of this. Convoy's trying to, and we're not the only organization doing that. In fact, we partner with hundreds of organizations to make that happen. Corporations, food companies, other humanitarian organizations. When you do things together, the work gets a lot easier, right? It works easier. When everybody's involved, everybody's going the same direction. And if everybody plays selfless and other-centered, it makes it a lot easier. And I thank you for getting behind Convoy of Hope, because you're empowering us to play with the big boys. And we get more done with the big boys, the bigger organizations than us. But you might be thinking, well, you guys are so small, why even try? Well, I tell you what, we do things the right things right. We spend some of your money doing the correct things in accounting and how we do and business. In fact, Charity Navigator recently gave us a 4-star rating, which is the highest rating you can get. But we got it for the 13th year in a row. Yeah. And that puts us in the upper 1% of charities in America. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So we spend a little bit of your money to take care of your money and get it where it needs to go. And so as a result, our budget for admin and fundraising fluctuates between 9% and 12%, depending on how much comes in every year. We have a lean budget. And in our business, 9 to 12% is pretty good. Okay, it's pretty good. So part of that 9 to 12%, we do the right things right. We hire some good accountants, forensic auditors, actually. You can't get one by them. I mean, it's just really incredible. And so we take care of your gifts, and we thank you for your trust. Convoy is involved in community events, outreaches. We'll do outreaches in major cities around the country. We just did one in Ferguson within the last year and a half, I think, after what was going on there. It made national news, the event, the riots did. But we went in, and I think we mobilized part of this church down there, and you folks also responded, I think a year ago, less than a year ago, to the floods in St. Louis. Maybe it was a year and a half ago, I'm not sure. But you guys got involved with that. So what we did is we sent stuff up here, and you guys mobilized. It was pretty amazing. You helped your neighbors nearby who were suffering. So we do disaster response. Right now we're responding to 4 disasters. Hurricane Matthew, which is through the Caribbean. And then North and South Carolina, we're impacted greatly, and it's getting worse and worse and worse there as the floodwaters come up. It's not actually crested in some communities. Some people in these communities are on islands of land, and nobody can get to them except by boat, and nobody can get out. We're also responding to the flooding in Louisiana. It was a hurricane without the wind. It was devastating. And we are rebuilding homes and churches down there, thanks to the gifts that you folks sent. We're also responding to a typhoon in the Philippines. Well, fortunately, we have a couple of warehouses there. We're feeding about 22,000 children there. And we have a waiting list that's huge. And we want to respond to the Philippines. So we have to send more containers over there, because we positioned the supplies out in the areas that we knew we couldn't get to after the storm. And that's what happened in Haiti. Before the storm hit Haiti, we had all the food in the outlying areas that we knew would be affected. So we're replacing the food that left the warehouse. Do you see what we're doing? We're just cycling through. And all that food, it's donated. Isn't that cool? Last year we had, in gift in kind gifts given to Convoy, $103 million worth of free stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And gift in kind, that's about wholesale value, as we are able to give companies tax receipts for that. It's pretty exciting. And last year, we surpassed the $1 billion mark of free stuff given to us. That's supplies. Yeah. You make that possible because you allow us to hire a bunch of guys who get on the phone and phone food companies. Then they say, yeah, come and bring us several trucks. We got stuff for you. So we send our trucks that Speed the Light bought. Students across America bought those trucks. Without those trucks, there would not be a Convoy of Hope. So thank you, students. Way to go. So we bring those free stuff back to our warehouse, and we match it with other stuff, and we send it to where the need is, here in America or around the world. We feed kids. And we also do our children's feeding initiative, those 153,000 kids at 1,100 program centers. Our hope is to break the cycle of poverty. Just imagine going to school and getting an education and putting hope to your future, not just next week, not just survival anymore for these kids. And you go to visit our schools down there, and kids they've got a pile of food, and they're stuffing food in their pockets or backpacks, taking food home to a sibling, or maybe even their mother. And we're breaking that cycle of poverty. With an education, those kids have a shot of getting a good job, and their kids will have a shot at education. And our motto the last year and a half, almost 2.5 years actually, we're feeding these kids, but we probably won't be feeding their grandkids, because our objective is to break the cycle of poverty. Not only is education going on in that classroom, but here's the cool part. They're hearing about Jesus every day. Not just that Jesus loves them, but they're being taught how to live for Jesus. Isn't that awesome? You need to know that. So in essence, Convoy does the humanitarian piece, but we also work through the church, allowing the church to be empowered, equipped, and mobilized to do their work within the hearts and lives of their neighbors. And so every church that we work through, every Christian school we work through, they are engaging with families in their communities and bringing them hope, and hope with a future, and hope with an eternity with Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you for that, because you make it possible. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In a few weeks, in fact, 6 weeks from today, your church will be taking an offering, receiving an offering, to give through Convoy of Hope, to end poverty, also to respond to disasters internationally as well as domestically, and help us do international outreaches and domestic outreaches. You can learn about One Day to Feed the World and Convoy of Hope in this little booklet that was in your seat. What One Day to Feed the World is you give one day's salary once a year. You've got 6 weeks to prepare, so an hour a week. That's all it is. An hour of wages per week between now and then, and maybe add an hour and a half in 4 of those weeks, all right? And you get one day's pay, 8 hours of your life in 1 year in this offering. I just want to challenge you, say no to zero. Do something. Do something selfless. This offering is not an offering of guilt. We do live in affluence in America. We live in extreme wealth here compared to the world. If we have a car in the driveway, a roof over our head, more than 2 meals in the kitchen and refrigerator, and 2 changes of clothes in our closet, we live in the upper 6% of wealth in the world. I don't want to make you feel guilty, but I think we need to feel responsible, that we can do something. This offering will be an offering of thanksgiving. It's the Sunday after Thanksgiving, after we have pigged out, okay? And so it's saying, thank you, God, for all the resources you've given to me. Now, Lord, give through me. I don't want to ever be just an object of God's blessing. I want to be an instrument of God's blessing, that God can move in me, then through me. And that is an objective in my life. I don't want to just live for me and mine and just go through life earning money just to pay my bills. I want to make an investment. I want it to have mattered that I lived. I want it to matter that I care and have concern and compassion for people. In a few moments, we're going to talk about compassion. You know, just feeling sorry for somebody is not compassion. That's sympathy. Merely understanding somebody's problem is not compassion. That's empathy. But compassion moves us to action, to care about others' concerns or needs. And for the believer, here's how you develop an authentic compassion that moves. You learn to pray. And that you have an audience with Jesus, and he rubs off on you, and you see people differently. No longer are people problems to be solved. They are people to be served. That's the difference. Compassion moves us into action. But the deeper compassion in people comes through a life of prayer. Because through the life of prayer, you don't just see their physical needs, you see their eternal needs. And today is Mission Sunday, Faith Promise time. I'm telling you, the Christian who prays will be concerned about the eternal life of people around the world. The person who prays, the Christian who involves himself in missions, understands their salvation, because they understand had somebody not shared Christ with them, they would go through life without Christ and go into a Christless eternity. For the wages of sin is death or hell. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's pretty simple, isn't it? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him you and I can have life. And he who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's 1 John 5:11 and 12. And the objective of a believer is to give life to people. Compassion. Compassion that comes from the very throne of God as we pursue him out of passion and intimacy. He rubs off on us and we see the world differently. We have a burden for people who do not know Christ. We call that people who are lost. An old vernacular in the church. Now it's, well, they just don't believe. I'm telling you, they're lost. Let's get back to basics. All right? Like a sheep that is lost, Jesus went out and found the lost sheep. That's what missions is about, going out and finding lost sheep. There's a disciple in the Bible that I really admire. His name is Andrew. He was always bringing people to Jesus. He brought his brother Peter to Jesus. He also found a kid with a sack lunch. Here's a kid, a boy with two small fish and five loaves. He brought him to Jesus. I want to be like Andrew, always finding people and bringing people to Jesus. That's what you do when you make a faith promise to Jesus. I got a couple of minutes. I want to share a couple of verses with you to mess you up. Okay? And it will also give you some comfort and some courage. Romans chapter 5, it says this. Now, I want to lead up to this. My message is no regrets. If only something hadn't happened. How many of you have ever gone through a tough time? Raise your hand. Those of you not raising your hand, hang in there. It'll happen. We do go through tough times in life, but how we learn how to handle those tough times will make us bitter or better, right? People that endure suffering or go through broken experiences and learn to yield to Jesus, they become leaders in the kingdom of God. The Bible is filled with stories of people who went through brokenness. And God uses broken down leaders and rebuilds them and they become more precious than gold to him. Why? Because a broken person will learn to depend on God and learn to listen to God and be led by the Holy Spirit. And the most mature thing a believer can realize is that I am totally dependent on Christ who strengthens me. So we find this verse in Romans chapter 5, the first five verses. Just keep this in mind, that I need to live a life with no regrets, especially when it comes to tough times. You know what? No matter what problems we have, and how big they are, there's probably somebody in this room that would pay to have our problems. Because we never know what's going on in the lives around us. That's why we need to be sensitive to one another and encourage one another as the day of the Lord is approaching. Catch each other doing things right. You never know what people are packing around in their hearts. Catch each other doing things right. It's the lost art out of encouragement. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. When we are going through a problem, we can never, ever forget who loves us and who's called us and who has saved us. And we have been brought into the very presence of God, and we have a great high priest, a great sacrifice in the person of Jesus Christ. He has allowed us to go boldly before the throne of grace. Never, ever, ever forget who you are in Jesus and who Jesus is in you when you're going through a tough time. That is a secret I have learned. Never get your eyes off of the perfecter and author of your faith. That's what the devil wants you to do. Get your eyes on the problem and off of God. He wants to just set you off, to set you off balance, to get your attitude messed up. He wants to mess with your heart and your mind to get you distracted away from the author of your faith, Jesus. You want to find out who you are? Walk through a trial, because your character will come out. It will. Your faith will come out. And I'm telling you, the testing of your faith will make you more and more and more strong in Christ. This faith in which we now stand, this peace that we have with God, is indescribable. It's real. It's passionate. It's intimate. When we go through tough times, it drives us to our knees and to the throne of grace. Have you found that to be true? It drives us to God. That isn't so bad, is it? But we cannot treat God like a rabbit's foot. Every time we get into a problem, we go to the dresser drawer and pull out a rabbit's foot. And that's the only time we surrender to God. We need to live a life of surrender to his lordship. And that means he's the leader of my life. He's the master of my life. And I tell you what, tough times have become easier the more often they happen. And I'll explain that in a moment. In Romans, in the latter part of verse 2, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Never forget to be thankful, folks, in all things. It's really tough to follow one of the verses in the Bible when you're going through a tragedy. Thank God for all things. That's insane when you've lost your spouse or your child, right? But in all things give thanks. If you can remain thankful in the middle of that crisis in your life, God will always be first, and he'll always be there to lean on, and you'll recognize that he is as close as the mention of his name. Can we say the name of Jesus together? Let's say it. Jesus. Let's say it again. Jesus. Sometimes in a crisis, that's all you can say, right? Sometimes you're going through a difficulty, and that's all you can do. Some people might be thinking you're swearing, but it's a one of intimacy, of your very best friend that you have surrendered to. You've made the leader of your life, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, I love you. And maybe you're going through a crisis today. Reach out and just say his name as often as you can. About 2 years ago, I started practicing the presence of Jesus once again. I did it early on in my ministry. And by practicing his presence, I have become more grateful, more thankful, more mindful of God at work around me. And I recognize the small miracles and I'm more grateful, and I have the courage and the faith to ask for big miracles, and they're happening. I've been healed twice since then. A year and a half ago, I was healed. My neck and my knee within 24 hours. I was so bad in my knee, I was walking through Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, and three people with oxygen tanks passed me. I'm thinking, this is hilarious. I was in so much pain, and God healed me. And it just wasn't a coincidence, because it was my neck and my knee. Quite a distance between, within 24 hours of each other. God is merciful. God is gracious. And His name is powerful. Verse 3. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. We also rejoice in our sufferings. Was Paul a masochist? Yeah, I love to suffer. Bring it on. Yeah, that's great. If you enjoy suffering, you need to find a doctor. One that can prescribe medicine for up here. Nobody likes to suffer, but Paul had it together. Get his perspective. We rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because suffering brings perseverance. Perseverance, what's that? That's that never say die attitude. I will never quit. I'll never abandon my inward priority. That is Jesus Christ. Perseverance says, I will not quit, I will not quit, I will not quit. Vince Lombardi said, show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. I don't know about you, but I don't like to quit, I don't like to lose. I'm very competitive and I don't like to lose. Bear Bryant, famous coach from Alabama, sorry to quote an Alabama coach, but he said, tough times don't last forever, but tough people do. Am I tough enough? Not just in my stubbornness, my bullheadedness, but is my character tough enough to withstand problems? A lot of times people will bail out of a marriage, out of a job, and they'll even switch churches. I'm not going to go to that church anymore. I'm going to go to that church over there. They don't have any problems. And I'm thinking, they do now. The reason, a lot of times we take our problems with us when we circumvent the work of the Holy Spirit. Maybe He's trying to perfect us and alert us to problems. You've heard somebody say, that guy just rubbed me the wrong way. Maybe it's because you have a wrong way, dude. And sometimes God uses people to be the kind of sandpaper to our character, our personality, to where we yield to the Holy Spirit and prefer others above ourselves. That we can learn to live life Christ-like and selfless through life. That we learn the role of a servant, like Jesus in the upper room. He said after washing the feet of the disciples, hey, I'm doing this to you, but do it to one another in how you live. All people will know who you are and that you belong to me by how you love one another. And love was not just an attitude, it was service, action, words. And it's important to learn how to love other people in tangible ways. Not just, yeah, I love you. Hey, and if I change my mind, I'll tell you. Kind of deal. Absolutely learn to persevere so that you will have more love moving in you and through you. Perseverance, it brings about character. Character of being bullheaded, stubborn. I can do all things because I'm stubborn. No, the character of Christ is what's important, the fruit of the Spirit, the life of love and selflessness. And then character, when it grows, it brings hope. Hope is not wishing something will happen. Hope is a definite absolute. Hope means a great expectation with absolute confidence something will occur. That's the definition of hope. Not if. It's absolute. And for the believer going through a tough time, I am absolutely certain that God is going to see me through. How do I know that? Because he's seen me through things before. Hope in God is developed through tough faith and through the trials in life. And you know what's really cool? Through these trials and the sufferings, we can actually identify with the pain of other people. You understand that? The person who was lost, they got saved, and they understand that without the grace of God, they would not be living for God. Because God births faith in each individual who comes to Christ. And to me, that's a miracle in itself, that somebody would switch from unbelief to belief. That's miraculous. The Holy Spirit does that. Not just the words of men, yet it takes a messenger with the divine appointment of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit at work in an individual. That's what can happen in people when you give to missions, because the people that you invest in missions are called of God, and you're sending people that are called to nations who need to hear what you know. You can't go, but what if together you could send a bunch of missionaries to do the work of the Holy Spirit? That's what you're doing, even through the work of Convoy of Hope. You're empowering Convoy to empower believers just like you in communities around the world. That's what you do through Convoy. You empower the church. Isn't that cool? Because we work through churches. And where there isn't a church, we plant one. Where there are no missionaries, we earn the right for missionaries to go in and stay. I can't mention those countries publicly, but it's pretty cool. And God is at work. Faith promises today. And I want you to consider not only a faith promise, like, God, if you supply this, I'm going to give it. But I'm going to tell you a little story about Kathy and I. We grew up in church, our family. Kathy's from a deacon's family up in Fort Wayne, Indiana. She's the number five girl out of seven girls and one boy. And I got the pick of the litter. But we got married, and I grew up in a family that was poor. I mean, Mom, we were so poor, Mom took us to weddings to catch the rice, okay? It was bad. But Mom taught us to tithe, and we prayed for missionaries every single night, because my uncle and aunt and cousins were missionaries in Ghana. So I grew up every night since I was five, and we prayed for missionaries. And I started giving to missions, BGMC. Sound familiar, Pastor Jason? Yeah. Well, when we entered ministry, we were already tithing, but then we were challenged to do a faith promise. So we set a goal of a faith promise. I won't tell you the amount because it sounds really low, but we didn't make very much money as a youth pastor. But we hit that goal. And we got to the end of the year and thought, look at our house. We have all this junk. And we decorate an early ghetto, it looks like. But the thing is, what was really cool is God challenged us to give a faith commitment. So we would pay our tithe, and a faith commitment was, we're going to give another 10% before we pay a bill. All right? We started doing that, and we've never been late on a bill since 1979. And we've been able to give faith promises and offerings, secret offerings, over the top of that. And it's really fun because God allows us to live within our means so that we can be generous. We have to be lean sometimes. We really do, with our spending, so that we can be generous. But it started out small, then it increased, then it increased. And 20% for a youth pastor was a lot of coin, all right? A lot of coin. But there were years as a youth pastor, we've been able to give up to 33%. Of our income away selflessly. And people would say, God met a need in our lives. And we said, ours too. And we had given to the need secretly Let me tell you, that is a rush. That is a rush for me to give until it feels good. And you know what? The Lord trusts Kathy and I with money. We're not wealthy, but who knows what our future would be, whether it's penniless or a lot of resources. We want to be generous. I want to challenge you to give beyond yourself. Allow God prove himself to you. God keeps the books. Pastor Jason, my daughters went to Evangel University. I'm an idiot, but I didn't save a penny for their college. And both of them walked the line debt-free. Well, actually, my youngest walked with a semester owing. That's it. And we paid that off. But all the other years of my oldest daughter, debt-free when she walked the line. I cried, not that I was losing her, but God had provided. And then in 06, they decided to get married, 6 weeks apart. I think their MO was, let's break dad. I didn't save for that. But we paid off the wedding. The weddings. God keeps the books. And I want to challenge you today with your heart for God. Let it be exposed before him and say, God, I believe in you. I want to partner with you with the things that really matter to you. And you are not willing that anyone should perish or go to hell. You want everyone to be in heaven. And Lord, I want to do my part in getting people there. And so I'm going to be a partner with you, what matters the most to you. I'm going to take care of the widows and the orphans, the poor and the hungry and the suffering, and most definitely those who are lost. I want to tell people about Jesus with my life personally, what comes out of my mouth, but that which comes out of my wallet too, my checkbook, my bank account. I want to invest in the kingdom. I don't mind talking about money because I'm a visitor, okay? So, but you know what? Money is nothing but a tool. And this morning, some of you might be offended that we're talking about money. Let me tell you this about that. Givers will give, and generous people are not offended. If you have any angst about what I've talked about, just reconsider it in your heart, what money is to you. Is it a tool or your master? And I'm telling you, it's a great life to be generous. It's a great life. You know what? The greatest investment I have is my wife and kids, but also the people that I've prayed into the kingdom, those that I've discipled and sent on their way to lead others to Christ and disciple. And together, we're reaching millions. The kids from my youth group, the pastors that I've influenced, we are literally reaching millions every single year. And that, my friend, is a life and life more abundant. God bless you.